Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mirror man, mirror man, you twist and turn my mind until I don't know who I am. Mirror man,
good morning and welcome to the Arsenal Opinion Podcast. I'm joined by Matt Candela and we are experimenting with a new format today. Matt, tell us what the format is.
Well, we've been talking recently about our desire to do a little bit more podcasting rather than less. And one of the things we've been talking about is how quickly the news changes in the world of Arsenal. There is literally something new every second of the day, every moment that we wake up. And we thought, what if we created a little daily show, a little... Well, we've got a couple of ideas, haven't we? We've got an idea where maybe it's a daily roundup of all your Arsenal news. We've got an idea where maybe it's a bit of a daily roundup of football news in general. Or we've also been talking about the idea of going a little bit deeper on a single topic each day. So what we're basically saying is we haven't really figured it out yet.
We have not figured it out and we need your feedback to help us push it over the line. Maybe it's too much content. Maybe like that, I don't need any more Arsenal in my ears. I think we did 106 podcasts free to air last year. God knows how many Patreons we did. But we're going to give it a go, Matt. It's the daily hot take. Matt said daily spice. I mean, again, if you've got preference, do let us know in the comments. But we're going to go with the daily hot take. And today's daily hot take, Matt, there's been a lot of transfer gossip about Arsenal players exiting in January. There are some things that we know, Matt. We had to sign David Raya on a loan because of profit and sustainability rules. So if we want to buy, Arsenal has to sell. There is no doubt about this. Aaron Ramsdale has been linked with Newcastle. We don't have a fee in mind, but we know Newcastle are looking for a ball-playing goalkeeper. Mm. Nick Pope is injured.
Until April.
Yeah, he's got surgery on his dislocated shoulder, which is not good news for them. So we know that they're in the market. They're talking about David De Gea, who's been turning clubs down left, right and centre because no one will pay his monstrous salary ask. And Aaron Ramsdale is also on the list. And I know that Newcastle were very focused on that profit and sustainability rule. So they might be looking at a goalkeeper that only wants 120 grand a week as maybe more preferential than someone that wants 400. And then the other piece of news that came out is Arsenal are willing to sell Eddie Nketiah to fund a striker signing of their own this January. Well, I know.
I don't believe that.
Here is the thing, Matt. Mikel Arteta has not been good at selling players. And Edu has not been good at selling players. And I think the pervading criticism is when Mikel Arteta doesn't like a player, he couldn't be more obvious about it. He's like shunning him. He's like putting his hand out, doesn't want to speak to him. It's all over the papers. Like he's gone through a process where he's come into a club at Arsenal and players like Socrates and Mustafi are just hanging around, and he had to create a bad environment to get them to leave. Now he's carried that behavior through, and it makes it easy for clubs to say, we'll give you $1 million for them. So we get rubbish fees. So Mikel Arteta, in today's press conference, Matt, he said, we're not selling anybody. We only want to add. Aaron Ramsdale is staying. Everybody's staying. Matt, we don't even need to do a hottest of take today. There's only one take. Give us your hot take on the daily. Is Mikel Arteta playing games with us? Has he matured? What's going on here?
I think there's some games to play. I think there are players that he would like to leave in January, and he'd like to be given that money to spend, to be spent. But he's got a major, major problem, because I think that there are two players who he would have loved to have sold in January and brought in reinforcements. And those two players are Thomas Partey and Emile Smith Rowe.
I just think he wanted to sell both of those.
I think he wanted to sell at least one of them for reinforcements, because I mean, from all the noise, I think he wants to sign Douglas Luiz from Aston Villa. And if he can't sign Douglas Luiz, I think he wants to sign, there's been rumours this week of Paulinho from Fulham. But I think he wants a midfielder. I think he feels that we're short. And we sort of are short, because we've got two players who in other years might have been challenging for a place in the first 11 in Thomas Partey and Emile Smith Rowe, who have contributed, I think, something like 4 starts all season. And so he's right that we're short in that place. The only problem is just by the very nature of their lack of availability has meant that how do you sell one of those players? Thomas Partey is almost impossible to sell. It's like, oh, well, you're not going to be able to use him for the first month because he's going to be in AFCON, although you have a crazy idea that he might not go and he might stay to get fit, which I think is unlikely. And then Emile Smith Rowe is just, I mean, he's sort of broken at the moment. It's really quite sad to see. But I sort of have zero faith that he's going to be able to put a run together in the second half of the season. So I think those were the two players that I would have expected to have gone. Now that they can't, we may see something more of a wild card. Maybe it will be an Aaron Ramsdale. Maybe it will be an Eddie Nketiah. But if he sold Eddie Nketiah, it would have to be for a striker. And I can't see that happening in January.
Yeah, I think the plan is definitely to sell Aaron Ramsdale. I know that a lot of, you know, I was on a podcast with Jessinho, Jess Black from She Knows Arsenal. And she was flagging that there's actually been quite a lot of goalkeeper injuries so far this year, which is amazing, really, because as goalkeepers, you don't really get injury. But we've seen Alisson, you know, he's out for 5 weeks. Nick Pope, as we just spoke about earlier, like there's been a lot of problems with goalkeepers. But I wonder whether Arsenal might roll the dice on David Raya not getting injured. But do you think if we sell Aaron Ramsdale, we have to have a backup goalkeeper to his standard? Or do you think, you know, we don't often need to lean into second team goalkeepers?
Oh, I don't know. It would just be the most Arsenal thing ever to basically be 6 points clear in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, absolutely flying, no problem at all, and then get David Raya out for 8 games. That for me would just, because it would just be like, that was so predictable that was going to happen. And I'm just too scarred by the William Saliba and Tomiyasu injuries. I mean, that Sporting Lisbon game, that second leg still haunts me. I still remember where I was when I heard that the injuries were that bad. You know, it really just destroyed our season. And I think that Arteta is so meticulous in his strategic thinking and the way he thinks ahead. I think he may well sell Aaron Ramsdale, but I don't think he would be willing to not bring in a goalkeeper who could at least do it. I think it would be crazy to sell him in January, but who knows?
Do you think Carl Hein can step up?
I haven't really seen much of him. I don't really. I mean, maybe you can. Maybe you can. But I think it would be a real risk. And I think the danger is, you know, people begin to target the goalkeepers. And David Raya, it would be so typical. I mean, I haven't looked at his injury record, but I bet you he's never injured. I could just see it happening. He's a bit smaller, a bit more what, fragile.
Rodri coming in with a two-footed tackle to the neck.
Yeah, yeah, that's what happens.
Do you remember he did that against Kieran Tierney, didn't he, in international duty last year?
Yeah, and crocked him.
Dirty boy.
What do you think? You think he'll roll the dice?
I think there is no chance that Mikel Arteta wants to keep Aaron Ramsdale. And I feel like I'm buttressed a little bit by some of the people coming out and backing the opinion that we don't want to sell. You know, like when everybody was saying that certain players were injured earlier on in the season and they weren't. And it's those same people saying that we won't sell Aaron Ramsdale. I feel like there are a certain group of people that get leaked information that's there to support Arsenal's narrative, not the reality. And I think Arsenal's PR team must have said to Arteta, look, when you shit on players, you devalue them. And it makes it difficult for us to get good leverage. Or maybe the PR team isn't directing that, but Edu might be directing that. Like, give the impression that Aaron Ramsdale is going to start Champions League games. Play him against PSV. Tell the world that Aaron Ramsdale and David Raya are going to be interchanging for the back half of the season so that Newcastle go big or at least feel like they're having to pry him away from us rather than the current approach and the way that Arteta has dealt with Ramsdale. Newcastle will think they're doing us a favour because really they are, right? I'm not sure that we'd sell Eddie Nketiah in January unless there was a guarantee that we had someone lined up. Like, that would have to be Nketiah's going to Brentford and Ivan Toney's coming the other way. I can't see a world where you could do those two bits of business in the same January window. I also don't know who would have the money. I mean, what would you sell Eddie Nketiah for? I mean, we've got 42 million for Balogun.
Yeah.
Eddie's more seasoned. England international.
Yeah. I mean, well, let's just have a look at the stats. I mean, we spent 234 million euros. Because I'm using transfer market stats, and we bought in 67 million. And it's pretty clear to see that that number is out of whack. You know, I think we need our spend to. It looks like we're about 50 million short in the sales. So it would make an enormous amount of sense if it was Aaron Ramsdale. I think Eddie would get 50 as well. I think that he's a 50 million player. I don't think he'd get more than that because I think that potential is worth more than reality. And I feel like Balogun, no one has any idea how good he's going to be. And so that almost like gives his price a little bit of a boost. Whereas Eddie, it's like, no, I'm sort of pretty clear that he's a really, really good Premier League goal scorer for a team in the upper echelons of mid-table.
I still think he'd be good at Brighton.
I think he'd be good at Brighton. I think he'd be good at Brighton.
Brighton don't spend a lot, do they, Matt?
They don't, but they also, I mean, they've also got Evan Ferguson.
They have, yeah. They have. That's true. So just on the who could potentially go, there has also been some pretty big rumours that Thomas Partey is going to exit in January. Matt, the man's been out injured 98% of the season so far, but I see this Instagram story of him. Is he in a car? I don't know, but it didn't look like he was wrapped in cotton wool in bed, focused on his Arsenal career. What did you make of that video, Matt? Is Thomas Partey partying too much again? Not the sharpest, though, is he? He's not the sharpest. Don't put that on the internet, Thomas.
Thomas Partey. Well, I mean, there's a lot that could be said, won't be said. Lots of stuff swirling around about him. But, you know, the guy needs a minder to go with him every time he goes on international duty. That sort of says all you need to know. But he's a phenomenal player when he's fit.
Oh, he's so good.
I know. I mean, you just forget he was our best player for big portions of last season. It was that the reason we were playing so well was down to him. And I think of particularly that performance at Spurs away where he just ran. He ran everything. And how much we missed him when he wasn't around. So I don't know if we're going to be able to get a good deal for him in the January window. So I wonder whether it's a case of just try and get a turn out of him, try and win the league, try and win the Champions League with him, and then bid him farewell in the summer and spend the time between now and then trying to enhance our relationships with, you know, Al Hilal or something, or some of those Saudi clubs, and try and ship him off there.
I wonder if he wants to go to Saudi. You know, I've been watching some of those Saudi games, Matt. 800 people show up to watch Henderson play. Like, for all of the star power that they're trying to spend to bring the best to their league, it doesn't seem like the Saudi people are overly interested in watching it. Do you think that they've got like a... Do you think that that's a problem for Saudi long term? That if the people aren't interested... Even if you are a mega player earning mega millions, does it become like, oh, I'd like to play in front of a crowd? You get 800 at non-league games, more than 800 at non-league games in England. Does that factor, or are you just like, listen, I'm living in a palace, I'm being treated like royalty, this is a good life?
Look, I think it's an interesting point. I went and just had a quick look at some of the stats while you were talking. The average attendance at Al Ittihad is 40,000. So obviously, if you're playing in front of that, that's fine. Then it's a big drop to Al Nasser is 17,000. Al Hilal, 10,000. That's the same as Kenilworth Road. Then, but that's all fine if you're playing at home at Al Ittihad. But when you're playing away at Al Batan or Al Fayya or Abba Club, yeah, you're in front of 3,000 fans, which is crazy. It is crazy that you're doing that, but
the 40,000 capacity, is that like a club in like Riyadh, one of the major cities?
I think that's the one that Ronaldo is at, Al Ittihad, isn't it?
Al Ittihad, okay.
Yeah, and they've got average of 40,000, and they've got a capacity of 62,000.
If that's still not great, you know, like it's not bad. But like, if you a 40,000, you feel it in a stadium, a 62,000 seat stadium with 40,000, you feel that, right? It doesn't feel good.
No. But
do you think they'll keep up the spending? Do you think they're just going to continue to pump money into it?
I think so, because I think there's a window. Because the sooner once they're in European football, they're going to be subject to the same rules.
Do you think they're going to get into European football? You think that that's like a
done deal?
That's a done deal.
Yeah, money talks. Is there any doubt?
No, I mean, there would have been doubt 5 years ago, but the way things have transpired over the last few years, I think everyone's just given up. They're like, listen,
just let
Saudi's got the cash. Let's eat it.
I mean, have you looked at Syria? It's like a ghost town.
Syria is a ghost town. Yeah, very true. That's part of the reason that they dropped off.
Yeah,
Juventus having to drop 40,000 off of their capacity and build a smaller stadium. A lot of the clubs out there are trying to do that now to build up the fan experience again.
Yeah, you'd almost rather watch Al Ittihad versus Al Nasser than AC Milan Inter.
Controversial take. That's why it's called the Daily Hot Take. It's called the Daily Hot Take. All right, man. Well, I think we covered off. I think for our daily hot take, that was our first attempt at a one-topic subject. The topic was, are Arsenal going to sell? I think our hot take is Arsenal are going to sell, right? We don't know who's going to go yet, but we feel like that some money needs to come into those coffers if we're to make moves in January. You feeling comfortable with the first episode there?
Yeah, I think so. We ended up talking about the Saudi Pro League versus who we're going to sell. But yeah, I think we want to sell. I think we want to raise 50 million. I think we're flexible on how we raise it. I think it could be a number of different players. But the reality is Ramsdale is probably in pole position because he's not playing. He's a seasoned international. He wants to play.
Wants to be number one.
He wants to be number one. And so it's hard to look beyond him because the other two options, Smith Rowe, who can't play, and Partey, who is off the AFCON and will probably be injured straight off after that. So Ramsdale it is.
Ramsdale, you know, just computed that, you know, we've got the Euros coming up in the summer. If Nick Pope is out for 5 months, that gives Aaron a chance. I mean, like, is there another goalkeeper?
Pickford's number one.
Oh, Nick Pope not number one. I don't watch enough international football. Pickford. I thought Pope was coming into number one. Surely Pickford isn't going to be number one next year.
Of course he is.
Are you kidding me?
It's Gareth Southgate, mate.
Mate, that's appalling. That is appalling.
I'm shocked that you don't even know that. I'm just checking.
I don't care about international football.
No, nor do I.
I just don't care.
How can you cheer for a team that has Harry Kane playing up top?
Well, you can now because he plays for Bayern Munich. We all love Harry Kane now. Now he can't hurt us anymore. Unbelievable. All right, Matt. Well, we've done 19 minutes. We would love some feedback on this format from our patrons. Do you like this for our free-to-air listeners? Is this something you want to do? Or would you like to hear a more broad roundup on the daily? Or are you just like, listen, just stick to what you're doing before. It's absolutely fine. We don't need 20-minute podcasts. Let us know in the comments. Thank you for listening. And I guess, Matt, we will say ciao for now.
Ciao for now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.